When we sing about all those things that God is, we saw it in Jesus in his work on earth. Everything he did was all of what we know, a way maker, a promise keeper, our God. Don't let anybody ever try to tell you, you don't have our God. Right. Jesus Christ himself said, if you'll come to me, I will give you rest. I will put my spirit in you. All you have to do is believe in me, follow me, go with me, and I'll take you into eternity. That's what he said. So whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting, eternal life. And the life begins when? Right now, right here. Right, you're feeling it now. Aren't you a little more alive than when you got some dark things in your life, some dead things in your life? God is a God of revival and renewal and refreshment, is he not? Yes. Yes, he is this morning. And just so happens, the sermon is up and at him. I guess that's what I'm doing, right? Up and at him. You know, you get in the spirit, and the spirit of God comes upon you, and you can't move sometimes. And then God says, up and at him. Let's go. Get up and preach the word of God, because it's by the word of God that people hear and can believe and can begin to trust and see how God can change your life and our life and everyone's life for the better. Beginning when? Right now. That's why we got to get up and at him, right? Amen. Proverbs 24:16 says this: people may trip and fall seven times, but each time they will rise again. They're going to get up. Fall down seven, get up eight. Fall down 70, get up 71, right? Doesn't matter how many times you fall down, you're going to do what? Get up. We're all about getting up. Those are the kind of spiritual people that we are. We know that God is a God of getting us up. He's a God of action. I looked through the Bible this morning, and I spent a little time with it trying to find how many verbs there were that had to do with action. I didn't get to them all because we don't have time. Good for that, right? I was thinking about preaching my age, which would be about a little bit more than 60 minutes. So... But I'm not going to, see? Because you'll be up and at him out of here, right? If I'm not careful, right? But some of the words are come, follow, leave, run, go, seek, search, serve, carry, cleanse, fish. Yes. Oh, boy, yeah. Fish for people. Fight. Fight back. Stand and stand up. Brothers, step, forgive. That's an action. Did you not know that? Yes. Takes a lot of fortitude to do that, does it not? Yes, forgiveness is a big action verb. Cross, not only the cross of carrying it, but also to cross over places, right? Out of the Red Sea into the Promised Land, out across Jordan, right? We cross from one place in life to another, do we not? Yes. All the time. Get up, feed. Bring, carry, lift, walk, work, stand. I already said that one. Bring, I said that again. Touch. Hold and hold on to, right? All those verbs we find in Scripture, and there's many, many more if you want to look for them. But notice this, it's about action, is it not? We're called to a life of action, following Christ, going places, preaching to people, not just with words, not with this animation that may be me, but by your life example. You're showing who God is. So that's what, you know, and the key is this too. Every time we do make mistakes, anybody new that's ever made a mistake? I know the rest of you never have, so maybe a new person. I'm looking, okay. All right. But some of us do fall down, right? Yes. Not only tripping over things, you know, that kind of a thing. And as you do get older, you worry about falls, yes. Right? And, you know, they have those little things you can wear as you get older. I've fallen and I... And no, I did not get one for my birthday, just in case you needed to know that. Gift idea. But I do have an Apple Watch that'll know when I fall, and so there you have it. But listen, we Christians, we fall and we can get up. We can get up. We will get up. We must get up. We always get up. Fall down seven, get up eight. No matter where you are, and we've all been through a terrible time in these last 3 years because of COVID, right? But you know what? We never stopped. Never stop worshiping, never stop serving, never stop preaching, never stop teaching, never stop praying, never stop doing the things that God has called us all to do, right? Be there for one another. It's about community. It's about helping others, is it not? And it's about doing, putting the words out there of hope, because too many people have fallen down. Now, the other side of it is this. Sometimes we need somebody to help us up, don't we? That's why churches exist, in case you didn't know. It isn't just for this fun time of worship and celebrating and praising and hearing glorious sermons. It's more about, when is there going to be one of those? It's about what we learn here in this word. It penetrates our hearts, our minds, and our souls, I pray. And then it motivates you into action. Because we all have a before story, do we not? We've all been in a place where sometimes we've fallen down in our mind sometimes. We've been sad. We've been depressed. We've been lonely. We've had losses and things of this nature. And we sometimes can get stuck in a place, can't we? We don't have the fortitude or the energy or anything in us to cause us to get back up, right? That's human nature, right? Elijah, remember him when they were trying to kill him off after he beat up the Baal's prophets, right? Where does he go? Into a cave by himself, away from God. Thought his ministry was over, right? But well, who showed up? Angel of the Lord, ministers of the Lord. That's the reason we have people around us. When you see somebody fall down, you're to do what? Help them back up. Help them back up. Help an old lady across the street. I digress. Let's turn to the book of Acts, and you're going to see an example here of what I'm talking about, and then we'll go on to some more, I'm sure. So far I've fallen, and I can get up. Remember that one, right? I want us to be pogo Christians. Boingity, 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 boing. Now, if you're too young to know what a pogo is, you might know what a trampoline is. Same concept, right? You keep on bouncing. You keep on going, right? And if you keep on moving, your chances of falling are a lot less. Did you know that? Unless something in front of you trips you up. So keep your eyes on Jesus. He's never an obstacle in your life. In fact, he clears out the obstacles. He moves the rocks out of the way. He moves the turmoils out of the way. He's the one that helps us on our way, right? People sometimes will cause us to be off track once in a while, right? Some other people every once in a while. Yes. And if we listen to those voices of doubt, the naysayers that are sometimes out there, people trying to tell us we can't. Right. If you live by the mantra, oh, really, I'll show you. That's a little bit of part of me, right? Because who's inside of you all the time? When you know that God, you've turned to God and said, he said, come follow me, and you began to follow, right? You took step by step. And suddenly you're following him, and he's the good shepherd, right? So what's he got? The staff, right? So if a wolf tries to come and devour you, guess what happens? Boom! He knocks over that wolf, and you keep right on going, right? That's why we stay so close to the shepherd. Oh, back to Acts chapter 14. Okay. Chapter 14, beginning, I guess, at verse 8. This is about Paul and Barnabas. They were in Lystra and Derbe. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he never walked. He was listening as Paul preached, and Paul noticed him. See how Paul's following what Jesus does? Remember, Paul, and just like Jesus, just like we pastors, we leaders, we people that are in the congregation even, you notice somebody has some affliction, you notice them. You pay attention to them. And you're there in their midst. Why? So you can help them. You don't need a degree. You don't need a certificate. You don't need a title. You're just here to help. Because you're noticing. You're noticing a broken heart, broken mind, broken spirit. That's what you're here to do. Meanwhile, Paul noticed him and realized he had faith to be healed. Why? Maybe the man was reaching out. Who's to say? So Paul called to him in a loud voice, and here's what he says. Stand up! There's a verb for you, right? And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. That's an amazing miracle, is it not? But sometimes when we're sitting and we're in our place and we got something going on mentally or emotionally, sometimes we're sitting in doubt or fear, and sometimes some loss has happened and we're sitting in that sadness and things seem bleak and dark and we're sitting there, right? God calls upon those of us around others to walk into that person's space somehow, some way, and maybe not yell at them like I might do, or Paul, but to gently say, stand up. Come on. Just start moving. Let's start going back to finding your path again. Let's go see what the future holds, because there's no such thing as a period with God ever. We live in commas and semicolons and exclamation points. 1, 2, 3, maybe. And if somebody tells you to stand up, what are you going to do? Oh, goody, boing, 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 there you go. Yeah. Sometimes just a change of scenery from here to here makes a difference, does it not? I mean, your feet, you know your feet, right? You know what they look like, right? You put your shoes on every day. You don't need to keep looking at them all the time in your sadness. That's where we generally look down. But when you look up, you see something different. You'll see maybe a bird will fly by your window. Maybe, I don't know what star you'll see at night. You'll see the sunset. You'll pay attention to the blessings that are around you, right? We need to be looking up all the time. The Bible says, where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord above, up in the mountains. Right? Above, always above. There's something to be, in physiologically speaking, I promise you, if you look up, you cannot even cry. How about that? It's not biologically possible. Try it the next time you're starting to cry and you're looking down, and look up and see what happens. Just saying, yeah, you'll see. It works. I had you laughing right there. When we look up at the cross, what do you see? You see power. You see glory. You see a resurrected king, right? You see the defeat of all of our enemies. You see the defeat of sin, and you see the defeat of anything that's ever going to hold us down. Jesus was held by that cross, but then he was set free and loosed, right? And he's alive. Where? In me and you. Yeah. All right. Moving right along. Where was I? Okay. So he started walking. When the listening crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect. These men are gods in human bodies. No, they're just human beings like the rest of us, right? And I'm not going to go on with that, but what Paul says, no, it's not my power, it's God's power that did this. Lest anyone ever think that it's me, you, or us. It's God in us, right? All right, just getting that clear. So they made sure they understood and said, we're bringing you this good news so you can turn from worthless things to the living God. That's why we're showing you this miracle. It's just a way to show you how powerful God is. For all of us that are in this room that used to be down and out and thought we could not have our God and have found out that, guess what, God really does love us all, and God can give us a refreshing life, and God can change and grow us and transform us into something beautiful, right? Amen. We know that. We're the testimony of that miracle, are we not? Yeah. All right. Jump down to verse 19. Now some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and turned the crowds into a murderous mob. Isn't it just wonderful that no good deed goes unpunished? Yeah. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, apparently dead. Anybody here ever been apparently dead? Given up for dead, feel like you might as well be, all hope is lost. We've been there, all of us, for one reason or another. And the older you get, you realize, guess what? I'm still alive. A new day is a new way of everything being different for us, right? But there they were, and they stoned Paul, dragged him out, apparently dead. But watch this, verse 20. But as the believers stood around him, right? The believers stood around this person that was almost stoned to death, right? Beaten, left for dead. What happens? The believers get around and they start to pray, don't they? You see why we have a church of believers? Any last one of us could fall prey to something in our life, can we not? Because the enemy's all around us and Satan's trying to rob, kill, and destroy. We know all his antics. But guess what? Even though we may get pummeled once in a while, or our thoughts may pummel us because we make a mistake and you can't live with that mistake and so you beat up yourself, stop it. But needless to say, the believers got around them. That's the time to come into church. That's the time to call on other believers. That's the time to ask for prayer. And it's okay to say, I feel as though I'm even dead inside. Admit it. It's okay. No one's going to judge you or condemn you. We're here to pray for you. And watch what happens. The believers stood around him. He got up. Fell down 7, got up 8, and he went back into the city. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe, and then he preached there, and he kept on going. And then he went back to another city, and another city, and another. He just kept on going, spreading the gospel message of this good news in Jesus Christ, that even though you may think you're dead, you're never dead. There is no such thing. You will do what? Get up. Get up and get at it again, right? We see a beautiful example here of somebody who literally was nearly stoned to death. His ministry almost ended. His life almost ended, but God. He never leaves us in that place. And sometimes we need believers around us to surround us in prayer and believe for us. And what do we do after that prayer? When somebody says, okay, get up and let's get moving again. You've been down long enough. Come on, come with us. And when you got a crowd of people saying get up, chances are pretty low that you're outnumbered or higher, that you're outnumbered, whatever I'm trying to say there. But needless to say, you're going to do what? Get up. You might as well get up, because who wants to be talked to all the time by me saying for you to get up? True. There we go. See, yeah, they're jumping up now. That's my point. Good point. I'm going to call the pastor. Oh, no. Anyway. See, we are and need to be resilient, rebounding pogo stick Christians and repossible. Because sometimes it's impossible. And sometimes it is possible. But sometimes when possible and impossible don't always meet, there's always a repossible. No matter where you are in your life journey, it is always possible for you to change, to grow, to come into a relationship with God, to find peace, to find joy, to find love, to find everything you need. When is it possible? Now and always. Now and always. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, talking to the crowds, come to me, all of you who are weary. Now, as you get older, I notice you do get wearier sooner. But see, it's not just the age that causes us to be weary. It's the things that we carry, the load that we carry, the thoughts that we think that sometimes weigh us down, correct? All you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Not just one, many, right? You know, if I held up a glass of water right here, right now, and it had, 8 ounces in it, I don't know what it would weigh. Not much, right? But the longer I carried, if I stood here for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 days holding that, you think, how do you think my arm's going to do? Not too good, right? See, it doesn't matter the size or the weight of the burden. It's how long you even carry it. So, about you, I think it's time to put some of those burdens down. And Jesus said, come to me if you're weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'm going to exchange it. It's an exchange privilege here. I'm going to take your burdens. I'm going to take your weariness. I'm going to take out your worrisome thoughts or whatever is holding you down, whatever things of your past, the sins that you may even still think that you're not good enough about, all those things within you that weigh you down, the worries and cares of all the world that you sometimes have, thinking that you're not good enough, thinking that you don't matter, thinking that God won't accept you for who you are. Here's the thing. He said it to everybody. He didn't say, come to me, all of you, got all your act together. Because nobody would come to him, right? There's no prerequisites with Jesus. Do you see that? You don't have to get your act together. You don't have to, suddenly, be different and be all unbound and all together to go to him. When does he want you the most? At your weakest moment. When you have the heaviest burdens, when you need rest. So he's going to take your burdens, take that weariness of all the things that you've been thinking about that are wearing you down. Stop thinking about them. Or if you want to keep thinking, hand them to him. Here's the things I'm thinking about. I got a book of them. You cannot unburden yourself. This is the thing. This is the myth of people. Sometimes we can't get up by ourselves. We need someone to lift us up. And the greatest lifter-upper? Jesus Christ himself, right? And he also gives us people in our lives who are like Jesus, right? To unburden them. He has no prerequisites for you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you love or who you are. What matters is that you have a burden and you're weary. That's all that matters. So that kind of includes us all, correct? You don't have to jump through any hoops for him. No special training, no acting or anything like that. And no payment is required. You don't owe him a thing. Good to know that? And he says, I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly. Depending on who you are and your size and what you need, it fits perfectly for you. And by the way, in this scripture, in the Greek, it means I'm kindly taking care of you. My yoke is kindness. And my burden is light. Jesus is a helium God. Yes. What helium is to a balloon, to lift it up, that's who Jesus is in your life. On another note, he's also a life preserver, right? When he says, take my yoke, we need a life preserver sometimes. These turbulent waters that we sometimes are walking in or swimming in, right? He's that life preserver. That's what he's speaking about here. And all you have to do is come to him. There's that verb. There's that verb. Because I often think, I can be very simplistic in my teaching sometimes. If you fall down, so easy. Except for you faller downers who don't always get up. And we can plead, we can pray, we can beg, we can teach, we can preach, we can dance, we can do all kinds of gymnastics around you. We can pogo stick around you even and say, hey, come on, bounce with me. And some of you stay down. But here's the thing. How we do that, how we get up each time, is that we have a relationship with the Savior of the world, the Shepherd, who's always there with us and for us. And we call on him and we say to him, I've been bounced down here and I can't get up. And then he brings a spirit, and here comes the helium. Ooh, you rise again. Fall down 7. Get up 8. Through the power of God. Through the power of God. So this morning, if you need to know the Savior, if you've never met Jesus, I suggest you read the Gospels, because who he was and what he did totally matched. A gentle shepherd, a kind God, a gentle, humble, one that was accessible, approachable, and accepted everyone. He's accessible, he's approachable, and he accepts who? You? Me? Especially me. Because he knew I needed a Savior. Yes. Just like Paul, who sometimes each of us might get beaten down and fall down, all of us have a work to do. Each of us have a purpose. I celebrated a birthday yesterday, but I'll tell you this. Never mind that happy birthday stuff. Here's the thing. The day you're reborn, the day you're reborn, that's your real birthday. When you're born again in Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit, and everything that came before goes away. And then you're given your purpose, whatever God gave you as your purpose, and you start to live that purpose. That's the day you truly began to be born and live a brand new life. That's when you became repossible. So that's my prayer for each of you today. Get to know Jesus. He's a loving, merciful, gentle, sweet God. He's powerful and mighty and gentle and caring and forgiving. He's everything we always need. And if you fall down, I promise you, even if no one else is around, he's right there with you to lift you back up, fill you back up with the Spirit, pour that helium into you, and before you know it, you're moving upward, 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 upward again. That's my prayer for each and every one of you. Come to him, all of you, anytime you're burdened, anytime you're weary. He will give you rest, peace of heart and mind, and lift your soul. Amen? Amen. Amen.